I shall not. Look at the last word, want. Somebody say want. The word want means lack. So what he's really saying to me, what David is really saying, because Jesus is my shepherd, I won't need anything. How many of y'all want to get to a place that you know that Jesus got you so much that you don't need nothing in 2023?
Will they cry out to God and say, you are a burden lifter. God, you are my shepherd that I don't want for anything. God, you are the head. And I'm not the tail. You are the lifter up of my head. That's how you know and find out about
I heard the Lord say in my spirit, this is an unshakable house.
And I'm going to talk with you about bad decisions in probably the most authentic, transparent way I can. I'm here today to stop what I believe God is saying to us, all of these bad decisions that we're making. Because I will tell you this, everybody look up here, stop what you're doing, and just look at me, please. I want you to hear me very clearly. This is not the season to continue to make bad decisions. Satan has decided this morning early in prayer last night, about 11 o'clock, I begin to see satanic influence in this season because there's a season that God allows Satan to increase his behavior. Nothing goes on without God knowing it. I want y'all to know that. That's why I understand why people serve Satan, because he's stupid. Because there's nobody greater than God. I don't care who you call. I don't care what name you want to call, but there's nobody greater than God. God Almighty sits on his throne, and you're going to see that. But what you're going to find out is, and I'm warning some of you, you're going to stop making so many decisions through haste, through your emotions, through relationships. Some of you are being influenced by people who have ruined your spiritual walk. They have hindered you from being the person you are. I don't give a flip how good a friend they are. I don't care what they're doing at another church. You better know what church you belong to. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen, right? But we're making decisions. And for the next 6 months, we're going to start seeing decisions that we make. They're going to come back and they're going to eat us alive. They're going to bring great pain to our lives. If we don't stop now, some of the decisions you make, even as a Christian, you know, there are times when y'all think, oh, you know, I'm just going to stay home today. Bad decision. See, you can't go by what everybody else is doing. You know, I'm going to stay home from church. No, that might be the day that God has something ordained for you. But you listen to somebody who's inconsistent in their walk with God. I still don't understand this. How people listen to folk who don't have a relationship with God, tell them how to have a relationship with God. I am completely just crazy to think that someone who ain't got a relationship with God, who don't even go to church, telling you why you're in church so much. Who are you to tell me? That's like somebody who don't take baths telling me I take too many baths. Well, you don't take baths, so you wouldn't know if I take too many or not. No disrespect. I'm just giving you a simple explanation. And I know it sounds like I'm coming off hard, but I promise you, y'all know I'm loving, but I'm telling you today, I'm desperate for y'all. That today you need to sit back and watch the decisions you make, not based on what somebody tell you, but based on who your relationship is with God. You got to know it. I've never seen so much just dishonor to God about things that we do for God. People have a position, don't show up. Don't be accountable. You know what I mean? Skipping stuff just to be with somebody. You better make sure that person can be your God. And hope they can hold up what God does. Somebody say amen, right? So I'm going to talk with you today about why we make so many bad decisions. They said today that the average person admits that they've made 4 wrong major decisions in their life and it has been deadly. How many of you can understand that? I have. How many of y'all have ever made decisions and the consequence was more than what you thought? Come on, put your hands up. Everybody in here have done it. And it is time for us to really start paying attention to the decisions we're making, because some of them don't never let us recover. And I know some of y'all are looking like, well, you know, I'm grown. Yeah, well, that's grown people die early too. Somebody say amen. Grown people die too. You don't believe me, just go visit a cemetery. Yeah, it being grown don't mean that you do what you want to do. Actually, being grown means that you're accountable. Being grown don't mean you do what you want. It means you're accountable. That's what it means. But our generation, the younger generation, because we've raised them up, we spoiled them, we've given them more than we've ever gotten. We want them to understand that we want them to enjoy life. You know, we came up with this new best thing, live your best life. I don't know what that really means sometimes. Because there are a lot of people, they ain't living no best life. They just doing stuff that out of spontaneousness or out of emotion. It really ain't all the time living your best life. Sometimes it's just behaving badly. How many of y'all know, live your best life don't mean behaving badly. It, breaking the law, breaking your relationship with the Lord, breaking your morals, just breaking everything down. That don't mean you living your life. Actually, you're living a life that God didn't ordain for you to live. So why do we make so many? I don't know, something's going on the screen today, so I apologize. But it says, why do we make so many bad decisions? And then what's the answer to stopping? Oh, how many of you would really like to, now that we got to the preliminaries and now the rest of y'all are looking scared. So now we can, I don't know why y'all looking scared, because this is not a scared sermon. It's really just a truth sermon. Amen, right? But how many of y'all really just start looking and saying, you know what, I need to really kind of watch some of the decisions I make. I just make decisions that are too emotional. How many of y'all know? You make emotional decisions. It's just horrible. Put your hands up high. Come on. Just emotional. Come on, Lee. Come on back up here. Come on. All right. So how many of you just know that there's some decisions you made, and when you think about it, I ain't going to tell you that, but how many of y'all can honestly admit that was kind of crazy? Okay, thank you, Bobby, for getting your wife. I appreciate that. Thank you, Bobby. You really look real dapper in that sage. Come on, Bobby. All right, Mr. Sage. Just be sage. Hey, I got to give him a hard time. See, we live in them. I really want you to get this today. If you don't never hear any sermon, I really want you to hear this sermon today. This, I really believe this is extremely important for all of us. First of all, we live in a multi-choice culture. Y'all got too many choices. How many of y'all don't tell the truth, right? Y'all, we have too many choices. Y'all think a lot of choices mean that, you know, you're living the life. But really, sometimes too many choices means danger. Because it doesn't allow you to take your time and make the right decisions. You know what I mean? It's like going to the buffets. You know what I mean? Y'all know what buffets does to us, right? All of us, not all of us, but I know I used to love buffets, and then one day I found out that the buff met me and buffed me out. And when I couldn't see my toes, I knew something was wrong. So the buffet got a lot of choices, but they don't tell you what the results of those choices are. If you don't have discipline, I didn't have discipline. How many of y'all don't have discipline when you go to the buffet? How many of you tell the truth? Anybody else besides me? All right, so it's three of us, four of us. All right, right. Well, you skinny, you don't count. Somebody say amen. She's small, so she don't count. She can eat all she want. But for me, I just know that's not a good thing. All right? Well, it works the same way it is with your choices in life. A lot of us make too many choices. We have too many things that we can choose from, and really it's not good for you. It has caused you to make choices that have been detrimental to your spiritual walk, to your natural walk, to your behavior, to your character. So there's three areas that I want you to think about today. Number one is that you got to think about three tests that God takes you through. Number one is the ideal test. The ideal test is the test that God wants to see when you make decisions. Are they in harmony with Him? Like, do the decisions you make match what God thinks? Well, people say, well, how do I do that? You got to ask Him. Like, you gotta literally ask God to help you with your decisions. You know, and I know a lot of people don't like that, because they feel like, you know, I got a free will. You do, but it'd be nice if you let your will listen to God's will. Because since He made you, who makes better choices for you? So we're going to talk about this quickly. I won't hold you all day, but I just know today is extremely important. I knew it this morning when I got up at 5 something. I went and prayed about it. I said, God, what is going on? And he said, Greg, I need you to tell my church. And I was so grateful he called it his church. Somebody say amen, right? Because sometimes when we're disobedient, he'll tell me that's my church. Somebody say amen. And I'll tell him, no, that's your church. You the one told me to pass them, your people. Somebody say amen. I don't like when he tells me it's my church, because what he's saying is that's your responsibility. So, but I put it, said, no, God, that's your church. So, here's something I want you to think about. Number one, listen to God. Everybody say this with me. Listen to God.
Listen to God.
I mean, right? If you want to make right decisions and not bad decisions, listen to God. You're going to love this. I promise y'all. Don't look like that. Listen to God. Right? Watch this. So here's a few examples. Here's a few examples I want you to look at. And I studied some bad decisions that affected people majorly. Now, I'm not going to talk about people dying and all of that, because that's not going to make y'all feel good. But I'm going to show you decisions that can cost you even your purpose. Well, the first gentleman, we don't have the screen up today, but it's okay. The first gentleman I want to talk about, his name is Sam Phillips. And Sam Phillips was a record producer in the 40s and the 50s. And he had a recording company called Sun Records. Some of y'all heard of it, and some of you probably never heard of that, right? But nevertheless, Sun Records became famous because it had a young amateur on there singing who became one of the biggest stars in the world. But let me talk about Sam Phillips for a second. So Sam Phillips has this recording studio, and he decides they're making records, but he has a great deal of amateurs on his team that are making records, and they're not really producing yet. Well, one of the people that was on this record label was called Elvis Presley. Well, in 1950, he decided, after frustration, after making an emotional decision, he decided to sell Sun Records for $1 million, which was a lot of money in 1950, to RCA Records. Well, but what he also sold was not only studio, he sold all the rights to Elvis Presley, who ended up selling 1 billion records. Now, $1 million was a lot of money back in 1950, but $1 billion is a whole lot more.
Amen.
I'm trying to figure out who in here today is not paying attention that you're selling yourself. You contracted yourself out to the enemy, and you might have sold your purpose. Because you're being emotional for that instant gratification. How many of y'all don't tell the truth? How many of y'all don't tell? How many of y'all know we don't sold ourselves out in a relationship that's not called from God, and might have missed our purpose with the person that God has called us to, because we are so consumed with this person that we think is from God? I had a young man tell me the other day, he said, Apostle, I want you to meet. He doesn't go here. He said, I want you to meet this girl I'm thinking about marrying. And I said, don't bring her to me if you don't want the truth. I'm not going to be held accountable for this one. You know, because folk love to blame you. Pastor, what you think? And if you don't tell them what they want, then they get mad at you. So I got this new policy. Go ahead and get mad first, because I'm going to tell you, if it ain't God, I'm not going to tell it's God. You want to make it be God? Because here's what we do. We try to make God make a decision that is not his. Come on, somebody say amen, right? Now, I'll be all over. I know Apostle Junior used to love this guy. His name is Tom Selleck. Had a show called, you know. She used to love Tom Selleck. I tried to take my shirt off, but it didn't work. All right, but Tom took his shirt off, all I heard was a bunch of hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Stop. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Not she did. Not she did. Not she did. But she used to love the show Magnum P.I. Did Tracy say yes? All of them said, oh, you did too, Jessica? You said yes, Jessica. Did you say, oh, that was Tracy. Was that young? Was that father, daughter? She said yes like that? You did say it? I'm telling Mr. Scott. I promise you I'm telling him. Look at her, right? But even though Tom Selleck is successful in Magnum P.I., he made the greatest, worst decision he said he ever made in his life. He turned down Indiana Jones. He said it cost him the career he wanted. I wonder what you turned down that God gave to you. Some of y'all are turning down things because it looked greater than what you can accomplish. Not knowing that if God offered to you, he'll give you the power to be able to do it. I can't do this no more. The struggle. You're struggling without God. If God gave you the gift, even if the gift is not mature enough to what it's doing, instead of you running your mouth with folk saying, I quit too. Got folk out here trying to direct your life and they ain't got damn producer's license. They never did no movie in their life. They ain't even never wrote a sentence for themselves. And you sit up and listening to them telling you everything. I wouldn't do all that if I was you. Y'all crazy. Been down that road. Somebody say amen, right? So, am I saying something today? I'm going to get to it. So he said he regretted. Here's another one real quick, and then we're going to move on. In 1938, a gentleman by the name of Joe Schuster, and another gentleman by the name of Jerry Siegel, they sold the rights, watch this, to Superman. And they got paid $65 a piece. And they sold the rights to DC Comics. How many ideas you don't sold? Because you despise small beginnings. How many ideas you don't sold? Because you despise small beginnings. Because we live in a society where everybody wants microwave success. Put in the microwave for 2 minutes and I should be successful. But why do you want success as something you ain't worked a long time to get? Today we have more one-hit artists than in the history of life. Because you know what happens? We make them stars too fast. And I'm going to say something, and I hope you don't think I'm being critical, but I want to just give you a small idea of what I'm talking about, right? We're talking about ideals. And I'm going to hurry up and go. All right, so when I saw all of the things that went on with R. Kelly, and I remember years back when R. Kelly gave his life to the Lord, and he joined the church, he got in the choir, and the first thing they started doing was let him lead praise and worship. Now, I'm sitting here thinking now, I'm just a little different. I've been doing this for a long time. I understand how you set people up for failure because you make them just because of their status. But what he didn't understand was he was coming from singing about your flesh to singing in the presence of the Lord. He didn't understand that there was a difference because everybody was looking at his gift, but nobody was looking at his character. So you put him up and give him the microphone with that character. Instead of letting him be in the choir in the background, and even if you let him sing a couple of leads, but make him understand, no, you're not going to be a praise and worship leader because you don't even have a life of praising God yet. So let's let the Lord work on you. Let the Lord heal you. Let's let the Lord deal with your secret faults so they don't become your presumptuous sin. But we as African American have this tendency of always trying to make everybody be a star without the capabilities and the maturity to handle star status. Amen. I really think it ruined him. I really think if he was able to be in the church, learn what it was like to be a worshiper, get a worship life, get his character developed, get some prayer, expose some demons. Now, y'all looking at me crazy. See, we don't want truth in church no more. I'm not going to get up here every Sunday and tell you how blessed you are. I'm not. You're at the wrong church. I'm not. No. But I really believe that in my heart, that if he had been capable of being mentored. Because the only place, y'all look at me. Here's a secret. Y'all have heard me say it before, but it's worth mentioning it again. The only place your sins dies is in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't die on a prayer line. You get prayer. It's the beginning of the initiation, but your areas that you struggle in dies in the presence of God. And the more you stay in God's presence, the more your bad behavior, your character flaws, your sinful behaviors, they die. You have to stay in God's presence. Because some of this stuff ain't going to leave easy. How many of y'all know we got some stuff in our lives that they kicking while they trying to come out? So let's go ahead and go here. Amen? So we talked to God. So look at a couple of scriptures here. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. I'm doing it in the CEV version. I know some of y'all got to pull your phones up. Because normally it's on the screen every Sunday, but this Sunday, we're gonna preach it no matter what the screen is trying to do. Ain't nothing gonna stop God. Somebody say amen. Here's a dumb decision I gotta say real quick. It was so funny in Boston, and it was funny to me, maybe not funny to you, but I thought that was the craziest thing because I'm a lobster fan. How many of y'all like lobsters? I love lobster, right? I love it. You know, lobster's so good to me. And I know Sonya loves lobster because Sonya's, you know, she's cocky. She's snooty anyway. Snooty people love lobster. So you already know when you take Sonya out, you can't give her no cheeseburger. Somebody say amen. You take her out on the first date, you're like, okay, you want to go down and get some wings. You don't know who I am. Wings. You better go get me a lobster, and I want a whole one. But they said in Boston... This is a true story. This guy decided to walk in the restaurant, reach in the tank, and steal the two biggest lobsters he could steal. The only problem is where he stuck them. He decided to stick both lobsters down in his pants and go running. Yeah, we'll just end the story on that. It didn't turn out well. All right, when I saw that story, I said, oh, my God. All right, y'all, come on. I got about 25 minutes. Let me get this. So here's the first thing you want to talk about when you're making bad decisions and you want to change the decisions. You got to first see God from a different perspective because a lot of times we've been taught to see God through fear and intimidation, and God is a loving God. He's a caring God. Yes, he does judge. Yes, he will give you punishment for your behavior. But he does it through love. Somebody say amen, all right? Amen. So Deuteronomy 32 and 4 said these words, the Lord is a mighty rock, and he never does wrong. God can always be trusted to bring justice. But the scripture is really saying to you that God can never be wrong. There is no wrong in his character. So if God can never be wrong, why are you not listening to him? What are you doing listening to everybody else and don't listen to God? If he can never be wrong, what right do you have to believe someone greater than God when you say God is your father? What's wrong with us? We're the most educated people of society in this time. And we're disobedient more than the people who weren't even educated about the Bible. There were preachers preaching with second grade education, and we were obedient. Now we got all these role scholars and theologians and deep folk and revelatory folk. And it seems like we've got more disobedient with more. We got all these translations of the Bible, but it doesn't make us better. Well, here's what you got to understand about making good decisions and not bad ones. You sometimes have to have an argument with yourself. Yeah, yeah. There are times when you have to argue. You have to have an argument. You have to, literally, I know people say you're talking to yourself. You probably don't want to do that when somebody's in the room, but actually, by yourself, you might want to have an argument with yourself. What are you arguing about? Now, you say that, okay, you put the situation in front of you, and you say, now, wait a minute, Gregory, is that really right? You stand back, you look at it, say, now, before you make that decision, and that decision is saying to you, come on, let's go, let's go. No, 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 hold on. You're rushing me. Let me make sure. Is that decision the right decision to do? And then this way you get real deep with it, right? And people say, why do you do all that? Because then when you ask the decision, should I listen to you? Then you say, hold on, decision. Let me look at that, talk to God. God, should I listen to that or should I listen to what you're saying? Because a lot of us are making bad decisions because we don't stop and ask God. Y'all ask everybody on social media. You don't really know if them people are living what they say they're living or not. You don't know if they really got what they got or not. I hope they do, but a lot of them really don't. That's somebody come in your life, and you've been raised and got the word for 10 years, and somebody can come in your life and make you all of a sudden start questioning what you've been taught. And then you make a bad decision because of this feeling. I really loved him. Well, do you love God more? Amen. Do you know there are people that come in your life and they come in your life specifically? Because remember, people only come in your life for two reasons, to increase you or decrease you. If you sit back long enough and watch the relationship and stop looking googly at it and really look at it for what it really and ask yourself the question, when I saw when I started dating you and when I saw where I'm at now and one looks like my spirituality has changed, I'm not quite as excited about being in the house of the Lord. I'm not excited about giving to church no more. I'm not excited about being there. I'm not excited about participating. I kind of lackadaisical. It don't hurt me no more to lay in the bed when it's a Sunday morning when the bed used to burn me up because I couldn't wait to get to church. I wonder what done happened. Now it's easy for you to lay in the bed. Don't get up. You don't want to pay your tithes no more. Now you're questioning everything when tithes bless you. Oh, y'all, come on. Come on, somebody, right? But yet now, and that joker laying up in the bed with you. I mean. I'd be looking, I'd be like, what in the world? You mean to say 10 years, 15 years of relationship with God, and somebody can come along and in a few months wipe out everything inside of you? No, no disrespect. Please don't take it the wrong way. How are they able to wipe out all that God in you? I mean, how you gonna take 15 years of food? Pantry full. All this word you don't got. And somebody can come and go into your cabinet like it ain't but one can of soup up in there. How is somebody able to come and mess your mind up and to make you change your whole behavior, compromise your walk, sell your soul just because you getting a tickly feeling? Come on, somebody. There's got to be something wrong with this situation. Come on, somebody. Come on. Y'all stop. Y'all trying to make me an old preacher. Stop that. There ain't nobody but Ken. Come on, Pastor. No, no, no. Stop. That's my boy there. I love Ken. Isaiah 48, come on. He's just getting excited. No. Thank you. How many of y'all don't tell the truth? It's ridiculous. Hey, you ain't the only one ever dated somebody. You ain't the only one got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Good God Almighty, what in the world? Y'all in agreement with something that ain't even in covenant with you. Living married while you single. All right. Isaiah 40:8, I'm just saying. Not being mean. Isaiah 40:8, CEV version says this. Flowers and grass fade away. Y'all know flowers and grass, they do fade away, right? But what our God has said will never change. Now I want y'all to hear me on this. Now I promise I'll leave this long after this. Please, please, I promise I will. Y'all look up and feel me. Now I promise after this, I won't mess with y'all like this. Flowers and grass fade away. But what our God has said will never change. Now, I want y'all to hear this from a standpoint because, you see, the reason why all the school teachers will tell you the reason why the kids struggle is not because some of them can't learn. It's that a lot of the children struggle in school because the school teaches a different culture. We learn from our culture how to learn. So when we hear words, like how many of y'all know one culture say bad is bad? We say bad, that means it's good. So we try to identify from our culture what we're learning. Well, we do the same thing in church. We try to learn God's word through culture instead of through what God's word said is true. So here we are. He said, but what our God has said will never change. So we all know this, that when God doesn't say what we want, he starts dealing with the repercussions of us not wanting to be in relationship. Because a lot of us try to make God's word change to fit our behavior or what we're dealing with at that time. Well, the word just said that God never changes. So I don't care what you're mad about. I don't care what you want to do. I don't care how you want to disobey or disobey. I don't care how much you want to do what you want to do. It does not make God's word change. It's what he said. He's not going to change it back then. He's not going to change it today. And if you live another 1,000 years, he ain't going to change it 1,000 years from now. He said, I'm the same yesterday and forever. And we in society want to try to make God's word change to fit our behavior or what we're dealing with at that time. And it's really hypocritical. Please look at me. I promise I'll leave it alone because some of y'all mean mugging me. It's okay. But watch this. But please hear me good. It is not fair. Say it with me. It is not fair.
It is not fair.
No, everybody, don't be afraid. Someone say it. It is not fair.
It is not fair.
Somebody say, what is not fair, Apostle?
What is not fair, Apostle?
For you to believe God's word for stuff you need. And then want to change it for stuff you misbehave in. You quick to say what God gonna do for you. And I stand on his word. But do you stand on his word when he don't agree with your behavior? Uh-oh. Stop it, y'all. Stop playing with me, Gwen. Ain't nothing to play with. Stop looking at me like that. Look at Psalms 102, 27. 102, 27, ESV. If you have it on your phone. ESV, I know this is difficult because on the screen is usually make it easy. But ESV, 102, 27. I'm almost done. He said, but you... If y'all have it in here, say amen. Amen. Okay, a few of y'all have it. Okay, I'm gonna give you a few more seconds. 102:27, Psalms 102:27, ESV version. I think that's English Standard, right? Version 102:27, and he said, but you are the same. That's what they're talking about, God. And your years have no end. God said, I'm the same, and no matter how long it be, I ain't changing. I ain't lowering my standards. I ain't going against what it was because if he changes standards, Because it doesn't agree with what you're doing or to agree with your decision, then he got to change his standards about healing you, blessing you, bringing you out. Right? So how many of y'all glad that God don't change his standards? Even if I don't like his standards, I don't want him to change his standards. Praise God. Y'all got that one? Here's another thing I want you to see. I'm going to hurry up. Faith means, everybody say this with me, faith means, you obey. Even, come on, say it again. Faith means, everybody, you obey. Even when you don't understand it. There comes a time in your life that you're going to have to obey God even you don't understand what he's doing. You don't have faith if everything God tells you. If God tells you everything he's doing, you ain't got faith. Amen. Make sense? Do you know? This is so funny. Do you know that there are times when God will let you walk in the dark? Watch this. And make you search for a flashlight. There are times in my life where I was in the dark. And I told the Lord to give me some light, Cynthia. And he said, go look for it. Show me you want the light. I got a flashlight laying around here. I got my word laying around here. Go get that word. Go search my scriptures and find out what you need to put a light on that you're trying to make a decision in your life. There are times when God will allow you to walk in the dark so you can search his word and get some light for it. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He purposely let you sit in the dark to make you get up and say, go look for it. Let's see how bad you want my word. Let's see how bad you really trust that I can make the right decision for you. Go search the word for me and look for me in the word in this situation before you make this decision and ask me to put some light on it. We got four amens on that one. Boy, we're a tough generation today. We do not like having people tell us what to do. But I say it all the time. I tell my wife this all the time. I said, we are such a hypocritical people. Because we want everybody to listen to us, but we don't want to listen to nobody. We have double standards. Can't tell you nothing, but you tell everybody something. Telling the kids, you better listen to me, but you don't even listen to your boss. So the ideal test, I'm going to hurry up, is asking God, write this down, what does he have to say about it? When's the last time you made a decision and you say, God, but what do you say about it? Now, remember now, most of us don't get an answer from God because God already knows you ain't going to agree with it. Lord, I'm trying to find out if this is the right one. God said, I want to show it to you. Is he the right one, God? She the right one? God said, I want to show it to you. And then hear what y'all do, right? Y'all fill in the gap between God telling y'all and you asking. So what y'all do is, I see some signs. This might be him. I see some signs, Lord, that might be her. There's a few things on my list that she does already. Why? Why is she doing all that for you and you ain't married to her? Why do you have them expectation with no ring? I'm going to get back up here because y'all mean mugging me. I understand that sometimes understanding God's principle is hard, especially when you don't want to do it. It makes it real hard to obey God when you don't want to do it. So when you say to God, I want you to give me an answer on this situation. That's not only in relationship, that's in a lot of decisions you make. Y'all be quitting jobs, don't ask God. And then out of work for 5 months and say, God, why are you doing this to me? God said, no, go back 5 months ago when you walked off your job because you felt like I told you. And if you felt like I told you, then you should feel like that I got you. Praise him. All right, come on now. We're going to do a praise break. Come on, praise him for a minute, devil. All right. You walk off your job and then God's supposed to just be there for you and you didn't even ask him, should you leave? And then you even walk off the job with no accountability. You don't give no notice. You don't respect your boss. And we just think that God honors us because we are Christians, that we don't have to listen to nobody because we are Christians. No, you should be listening more because you should have the character of a Christian. Ooh, this ain't a shout message. Am I saying something?
Yeah.
So sometimes understanding God's principles are hard. But you don't have to understand his principles to be blessed. Because if that's the case, if you understood all God's principles, you would be blessed in every scenario, right? But we still don't understand all God's principles, but how many of y'all know we still blessed? But how many of you know you get more and more blessed the more you learn his principles?
Amen.
So here's example one. I'm not going to pull it up because we don't have time. But many of you read the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And it talks, Gideon is getting ready to go into battle. But he's got a lot of people with him. I think he's got about 30,000 soldiers. Watch how God make you do something and it's not understandable. So he goes to Gideon and he says to him, he said, Gideon, Zerubbabel, which is his other name. He said, you got too many people to go in battle with. Wait, God, hold on. I got 30,000 people. That ain't even enough. God said, no, that's too many. Well, why would 30,000 soldiers be too many when I'm fighting against all these thousands and thousands of soldiers? Why would you tell me that's too many soldiers? He said, because this time when you go in battle, you're going with me. See, you got to know when you're making decisions, when God says you got too much of your opinion in this decision. You got too much to say. Big mouth. Clearly. One time I was talking to God, he said, would you shut up? I can't even finish my conversation with you because you're so busy trying to interject. What are you doing? I'm trying to give you instruction. Y'all know how y'all are as parents. You can't listen to me while you're talking back to me. Well, that's what God sometimes says to you. I can't give you no instructions because you're too busy running your mouth. How many of y'all know God done said that there was a war? Shut up. So Gideon is trying to explain to the Lord, why are you cutting back when you know I need him? He said, because this is the first time, because you remember you did ask me to help you with the battle. You did ask me to help you with the decision. And I'm telling you that you're listening to too many people. And only people you got in your ear are your friends who ain't going to tell you the truth in every situation. Your buddies, your gossip people. You know, I'm thinking about just stepping down. Really? I would do that. Come over here and be with us. Be with you. Be with you for what? You know, you come over here where the Lord can use you. The Lord is using me. But not the way God wants to really use you. Oh, okay. God wants to use me more? Yeah, over here. You can't progress over there. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, okay. So I'm going to progress with you? Yeah. You the pastor over there? No. Oh, okay. I'll leave it alone. We find stuff in the Bible to try to plot our behavior to justify what we're doing, and you're wrong. And there's somebody here today, you're going to make a bad decision if you don't stop listening to your wife. That's right, I'm going to say it. Your wife friends. I mean, wouldn't my wife know my purpose? Not in everything. Wouldn't my husband know my purpose? I don't know Pastor Junior's purpose in everything. She don't know my purpose in everything. She know a lot of it. I know a lot of her. But their decision that God ain't even told her. Their decision God ain't told me about her. Praise God. See, here's something you got to think about. I'm almost done. Bad decision leaves scars. And they leave them on your conscience. See, because even if you are listening to somebody blindly, when you get by yourself, if you've ever had the Holy Spirit, if you've ever obeyed God, he's still there. Even if you're disobedient, God is still there. He's not speaking as much, but he's there. And when you're by yourself, the scar shows up. From some of these decisions you made, listening to somebody who could ruin you for life. People just make you stop doing what God told you to do. They're held accountable. But so here's Gideon. Let me say it. And Gideon got to now break down his army. He breaks it down. It ain't enough. I think he breaks down to 18, whatever thousand. I don't know what the number was. And then finally God said, that's still too many. So then you know what God told him? I'm going to make you make a decision to listen to me on a decision that sounds crazy. Keep only those that lap like a dog. Any man that you see, when he gets to the water, if he bends down and get the water this way, cut him. If he laps like a dog, put himself on one knee, keep himself in the position he can jump up anytime, and cup the water with one hand while he's watching with another hand, that's the one that you take with you. Because there's a place in your life you need to take people with you that know how to war. How was I having it? You don't need to be taking everybody with you. Just hands up, Father Dog. You can't be taking along all these jokers. All they do is gossip. All they do is got something to say. They ain't got no prayer life because they're too consumed with mess. Don't be partnering with me. With your messy self. I need somebody going to lap like a dog. I need somebody who know how to position himself. I might be thirsty, but I'm still looking. Come on, somebody, right? I might be thirsty, but I still know how to jump up and cut your head off. I don't need no prayer war laying all up in the house. Yawning 9 times. Keeping your pajamas on. Give me somebody else. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I'm almost done. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm tired of making bad decisions. Through my emotions. Tired of making somebody greater than God in my life. Anybody with me today? Let me see your hands if you're with me today. If you got somebody in your life and they trying to make decisions for you over God. Oh boy. Because test number two is what they call the integrity test. When you're trying to make good decisions, God's going to check your integrity. When the decision that you have to make, God's going to judge your integrity. How you behave. How you act. Y'all better get this stuff fixed in your private life. So it don't become a public shame. Now stop playing with yourself. Stop playing with your walk with God. We make a lot of bad choices in integrity. And the sad thing about it, we think that nothing happens because it looks like God let us get away. You know what God is doing is letting you get, try to get you to get it fixed. I was dealing with somebody the other day, and she's like, I said, you know, ever since you've been in this relationship, you are emotionally just destroyed. Person said to me, I know, I got to get out of it. I said, no, you don't need to get out of it. You need to be out of it. Because sometimes getting out of something means you give it time. And when you give something time that's damaging you and mentally you, and it's toxic and it got you all emotional, up and down, and it's got you not even want to be in church no more, got you lying. When somebody like, where are you at? Oh, it just happened. And you know you good and well was with your, like somebody stupid. God ain't no fool. Y'all stop acting like God a fool. You know good and well you wasn't nowhere sick. Over there sucking on shrimp. Oh, these butterflies. Oh, I wasn't feeling well last night. You've been true, just say I went out on a date. I was with my who? Not my boo, my who. Genesis 3, 1 through 7, I'm gonna close. Am I saying something today? Just making decisions that are, they don't do us any good. We just need to stop. You're in position in the church. You don't even care if you're here. You don't even care. And then you expect to walk back in here and walk in your position, and we just better just honor you. You're a leader. You're a hypocrite. Because you expect everybody to be up under you to be where they're supposed to be at, but you don't care where you at. That's hypocritical. Am I saying something today? So you have the integrity test. James 4 and 17. I'm not telling you to get rid of your friends. But I am telling you to stop having them help you make bad decisions. I mean, I'm telling the truth. I mean, just because they're my friend don't mean they make good decisions. And how many of y'all know just because I'm close to them don't mean the decision they're making for me is right? You better go back to God. Any human being become more important than you to God, you setting them up for trouble. Any job become more important to you than God, you set yourself up. Because God said, okay, I'm going to let you depend on that job to be your God. Not going to do well. The last test is called the improvement test. When God is going through a test and you're trying to make good decisions, he watch how you improve in your walk with him. He watch how your decision starts to change. You don't make the same decision anymore like you used to. You now take the time and say, God, look. And God said, oh, you're improving. You're starting to ask me first now. You ain't just running after something. just because it came up in your head. Does that make sense? James 4:17. Pastor June, do you have it? Because I don't think I have it. Would you read it for me real quickly? Get ready to close. Any verse is fine. Whatever the Lord leads you to. Now you already know what you're doing ain't right. Stop acting like you don't know what's going on. I don't know why the church play games. Y'all funny. I get them in the office, that's the first thing they hey, Pastor. I'm like, shut up. I just bust out laughing. I'm like, shut up. You know you're wrong. How many of y'all know when you're wrong? How many of y'all had God say, now you know you're wrong? How many of y'all had God say, you know this ain't right? How many of y'all had God say, stop this foolishness? Y'all better get y'all mouth off these leaders. Y'all better take y'all mouth off of us and this church. I'm telling you now, God told me to warn you. There's a few more of y'all still talking. And God said, you better stop. I don't care if you belong here or not. It's not going to be pretty for you. Improvements. Read it one more time, Pastor June, and get ready to close.
So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
You know what it said for him? Not for somebody else. Because a lot of y'all be watching what other people doing. I had one lady tell me, well, Pastor, I mean, my friends, they do it. When you stand before God, are your friends going to be there? You going to be able to call Susie? Oh, sorry, Susie. You going to be able to call? Not that Suzette. You going to be able to call your friend? No. You stand before God for yourself. We're going to close on 1 Corinthians 10:23. Anybody getting something out of this? A few of y'all. I tried again. Anyone getting something out of this? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 10:23 in the CEV version says, some of you say, we can do whatever we want to. That's the society we live in. I ought to be able to do what I want. Really? Can you really do what you want? What do we get that from in society? Look again, he said, some of you say we can do whatever we want to. But I tell you, not everything may be good or helpful. This scripture is even talking from a natural. Let's just get here real quick. This is not even a spiritual scripture. It even talks that sometimes a decision you make, it might be a decision that you feel like it's not a sin decision, but it's just what I think I have the right to make. And God says, it's still wrong. How many of y'all know that? That decision you make, it ain't got nothing to do with being spiritual. It don't even have nothing to do with being deep. It's just that I just feel like I want to do this. God, like it, I still don't agree with that one. It's just natural decisions that you feel. You know good and well that in the way you talk to people. But that's who I am. Well, fix who you are. Am I saying something? You can't go in your job and talk how you want. You can't talk to your boss any kind of way. I mean, unless he's scared of you, she's scared of you. But how do y'all know? So again, he says, some of you say we can do whatever we want to, but I tell you, not everything may be good or helpful. Here's what I'm saying. Freedom is given to you. Freedom, look at me, is given to you. But everything you do ain't necessary. It's not essential for your life. You might have the freedom to make a choice, but I'll be able to know some of them choices, even if it ain't a sin choice, but it's a bad choice. Because that decision you made, it ain't got nothing to do with God. It just got to do with who you are. And God said it wasn't necessary. You ever had somebody ever tell you that wasn't necessary to say? You didn't have to act like that. How many of y'all ever had that happen? Now, you didn't sin wrong, really. You just kind of responded the way you thought you should respond. But you had that person say to you what? Why did you act like that? Why did you go that far? That's where I was raised. Well, I wasn't with you when you were raised. My mother did that. Well, I ain't married to your mama. So even though it ain't a sin, it's wrong. Father, thank you today. Just because I have everyday freedom don't mean I have every right. Father, thank you. There are people here today you battle because, as we close with self-esteem, and your little self-esteem have made you make decisions, bad decisions. Job, relationship, emotions, mental capacity, financial decisions that are bad. I was talking to someone and they said to me, I just expect bad things to happen in everything I do. I didn't get mad at the person. You know what I told them? I'm gonna work with you. I've been there. I've never been there before, but it's like just everything you try to do is always gonna bring some kind of negative consequences. Let me see the hands of you that ever felt like that. Come on, put your hands up. Yeah. And what that does, it does something to your mental psyche. It doesn't make you think straight. Most people don't understand this, that when you see a controlling person, they're suspicious of everybody. Because having a control issue gives you a suspicion issue. Because it makes them don't believe that nobody telling them the truth. And the reason why they don't believe nobody's telling them the truth, because they don't tell themselves the truth. When you see a person with a controlling issue, they don't tell themselves the truth. Ooh, I just got saved. Somebody say amen. But I say all this to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we look around, there's something that we need to pay attention to. Our parents made us come to church, even when we didn't want to. They didn't have children in church when I grew up. But you didn't act up. Now they act up in church, and in church. But I'm very concerned. And it might not be a very powerful statement from perspective of you agree with it, but I'm going to just say it anyway. Our children battle so much with bad decisions. We make them make decisions too young. We let them at 9, 10, 11, 12, 17, 18. Make decisions that they're not mature enough for. And some of us are really setting our children up because when they make them decisions and they become detrimental to their life, we send them looking crazy. Because we don't want a parent because we don't want them to not agree with us. Your children are not supposed to agree with everything you say. Because they're not adults. They're not mature enough to comprehend. They said 82% of the young adults today are making bad decisions on a consistent basis. When were you able, when was I able, to ever go to school and tell off the teacher? I just thought about the one time. I didn't tell off the teacher. All I was doing was being a class clown. And my mama came and clowned on me. She came in front of the class. Fourth grade. Well, I knew it, looked up, I seen it, I said, oh my God. And in front of the whole class, I said, bless me, Jesus, I've sinned. Oh, you want to show off? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Oh, no, no. I heard you showed off. The teacher told me. She's sitting there with her ugly self. I called her ugly. She wasn't really ugly. But you know, if you get a whooping, everybody ugly. Little ugly joker. I don't like you are your mama. She said, turn around. Turn around. Whole class snickering. She got me a good 4 or 5 times. Right in front of the class. You know, they whoop you back then in front of the class. And the shame wasn't for the whooping. The shame was when she left. I had to stay there and watch the people, how they looked at me get whooped. We don't do that no more because I call abuse. Back then, there was a lot of abuse going on. Somebody say amen. A lot of y'all were abusive parents. You know, back then, they beat you with anything. Hangers, extension cords, brooms. Y'all, I'm telling you, I don't mean no disrespect. Them were psycho parents. I believe our parents battled bipolar. But it worked. Can I do part two of this next week? Or not next week, not next week. But whenever, whenever. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand clap if you got some out of this today. Amen.
I heard the Lord say in my spirit, this is an unshakable house.